When my mother was just out of college, somewhere I think in the early 50s, she went on a road trip with her brother. And, it was after the war and those, you know, there was those brand new highways. They didn't have a destination in mind or anything like that. They just jumped in a car and took off. They wanted to explore at least the East Coast around the area where they used to live. And this was prior to Kerouac's book On the Road, so I don't think that was their inspiration or anything like that. I think there was just something in the air in those post-war years. But what I do know is that my mom, in this trip, had to finish out that trip on her own, because when they got to Connecticut, my Uncle Ralph met his future wife in a diner somewhere in there, and he actually never left. I'm sure he left the diner at some point, but he never left Connecticut. And my mom used to tell me that story, and I can still remember how she would light up as she was talking about it. And it was such a powerful experience in her life. And you could tell that was really almost like the highlight of her life as a young person. And it's a story that my mom told me, it felt like, at least a million times. In fact, there were lots of stories like that, and from her growing up years or whatever, stories that she would tell me over and over, and it felt like over again. She'd bring these things up and start telling it to me like it was breaking news, like as if I hadn't heard it a gajillion times already. And I could even say to her, yeah, I remember you told me this, and she would nod and just continue right on, telling it to me like it was a brand new story somehow. As though, when I was younger, that used to kind of irritate me. I'll be honest with you. It rubbed me wrong, and I think it was because I was insecure, and I kind of felt like maybe this was her, a sense of her not believing that I had the capacity to remember this story. He's kind of like the dog. He doesn't remember more than 15 seconds. But I noticed something as I grew up, and I would watch her interacting. She had a good friend named Mildred, and the two of those ladies would get together, and they would start talking, and I would listen to them share these stories back and forth with each other that I knew that they both knew already, because a lot of times they were stories about things that they themselves had experienced. And yet when they would bring these stories up and talk about them with each other, it was as though it was a brand new thing, like neither one of them had ever heard it before. And they both seemed to delight in doing that sort of thing. My mom has been passed away for almost 20 years now, but I'll tell you, her stories are still deeply ingrained in my mind. In fact, if I need to recall them, I can recall them quickly because, well, they got repeated to me quite a bit. And my own children are grown now, and when we're able to get together, I've observed that we have a tendency to start rehashing some of the history that we've had together, telling stories that we all know already, but we like to seem to tell them again. How many people here have someone in their lives who tells them stories that they've heard multiple times? Okay, this is pretty much everybody. Okay, does it bother you? Does it ever bother you to have to hear the story again the second time or whatever? A little bit. You know what? That's a demographic thing. I think that when we're younger, I think it's a little more difficult. As we get older, I think we can handle that a little bit better. How many here are the people who actually are the ones who repeat stories over and over? A few people are willing to admit to that. Here's the deal. The thing is, we're all prone to this. We don't know it. That's the thing. Most people who are repeating stories don't even realize they're repeating stories. It's actually, there are whole studies that have been done to try to pinpoint why this happens, why we do that. Neurologists have concluded that our source memory is stronger than our destination memory. In other words, we remember the story itself a lot better than we remember who it is we've told it to. And so that's one of the things that they think is behind that. But usually the answers as to why we repeat ourselves are a lot less tangible than what neurologists are going to be able to identify for us. Communication, human communication, is fairly nonlinear most of the time. That is, human communication is not just the transference of information from one place to another, but it's also about feeling something. It's about experiencing something. It's about reliving an emotion or a state. Hence, we will repeat a story sometimes in order to take us there. And we'll repeat that story to someone else in order to take them there as well. I wonder if I would have remembered those stories of my mom that she had told me, if I would have If I would have connected those stories to her adventurous personality and the joy that she experienced, if I would have known her that well, if she'd have only told me those stories once. I sort of doubt it, because repetition seems to be key in how it is that I retained those things. Repetition of familiar things is sort of the theme of what Peter's going to be talking about today as we continue our study in 2 Peter in our studies this morning. By the way, didn't Travis do an amazing job last week? That was just... And here's the thing, if you were visiting last week and hearing him, and then you come in today and you're saying, oh, this is the regular speaker, believe me, I share your disappointment. But, you know, I wish that Travis wasn't so busy defending the country, because he could just do this every Sunday for us, but he's needed by more people than just us. I don't know if you know, he's kind of like Nick Fury. He's in charge of all kinds of cool stuff, but he's an important dude. But, you know, I appreciate all the different people who come and share and teach here. It's an awesome thing. To have this broadened voice like we have, it's so important to be able to hear this extended view of what it is that God's doing. But anyway, today we're going to be looking at why we do this, what we're doing right here. Why we gather like this, why we have someone share like we do on any given Sunday when we're together. Why do we do this? Peter's going to give an explanation for why he's writing this letter to the recipients, and it sort of informs us about why we're reading his letter and digging into this on Sunday mornings when we gather together. And if you got a Bible or a Bible app, if you want to take notes or something like that, if you'll head over to 2 Peter 1, please. Peter started this letter by laying out the foundational basic information that if we're looking for the good life, we're going to find it in Jesus. And from there, he said, then beyond that, we're going to add to that this life of following him and what this life looks like, how it's lived out, how we approach this, how these various ways in which we make life choices are going to bring Jesus out in us, that spiritual training program that Travis talked about last week. We acknowledge Christ as Lord and as King, and then we set out on a path that enables us to follow him, and that path leads to wholeness in our lives now. And as he said in verse 11, it also leads to that great welcome into the kingdom in an eternal sense. So it's wholeness now, but it's also an everlasting and eternal sense of destination that's included with that. And so from there, he lays the foundation out, and from there we pick up today with verse 12, where Peter says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them, and you're established in the truth that you have. Peter starts this by saying, therefore, and whenever we see therefore, we have to stop and ask, what's it therefore? You see, you've heard that before, and you've learned by repetition that the word therefore connects the present writing with what was stated earlier. So in essence, he's saying, because this life of following Christ's path leads to eternal life, it's my intention to keep reminding you about these truths, to keep reminding you about this path. In the Greek, this statement carries a sense of urgency, like he would consider himself negligent if he quit doing this, if he didn't keep reminding them about stuff that they already knew. And I think that's interesting. Having this recorded for us actually helps us to understand part of what it is that we're doing when we're gathering here, why we do this in our meetings here on Sunday mornings, why we prioritize this the way we do. And we're here to be reminded of stuff we already know, because being reminded of basic truths helps to keep us on course. That's what he's saying in that. It's the thing that actually keeps us tethered to this course that we've been set on. And it's worth pointing out that Peter says his readers are not only familiar with, but are established in this truth. That is, they're steady and they're stable in their grasp of this truth. So that tells me that Peter believed that there is a body of definable, knowable, spiritual truth that is foundational to Christian life. Something that gets challenged a lot in our present culture, but I believe this too. I believe that there are essential truths associated with this Christian life that connect us to historic Christianity, stuff that we don't want to lose sight of. Because if we do lose sight of that, if we do let go of those things, we find ourselves adrift on cultural currents that aren't going to lead towards stability. Without knowing these truths and immersing ourselves in these truths about who Christ is, what he means to us, where he's leading us in life, our life of following Christ is going to be shaky. It's going to be the opposite of established, the way Peter describes it here. That's why this is important. That's why we repeat these things. But repetition can kind of seem like a dull learning strategy. We may think, you know, man, why? Why do we have to revisit stuff I've already heard? Rob, I've already heard. I agree with you. I've already agreed to this truth. It's, you know, and if this were simply about transferring information from me to you somehow, then I would agree. I would say, yeah, that's just dull and pointless. But that's to sort of mistake how it is that we're supposed to approach the Bible. I believe that's a mistake we've made a lot in the evangelical church. We see it as information to be learned and to be passed on to somebody else, as a body of information that we want to transfer somehow, instead of seeing it as something akin to those stories that my mom would tell me that would sweep me into her life and help me to connect with who she was. The Bible comes to us mostly in story form. And, you know, you've heard me say that before, but it bears repeating. And it doesn't take long to start delving into the Bible to realize that the Bible repeats itself. Often this happens. Deuteronomy 5 repeats the giving of the Ten Commandments. 1st and 2nd Chronicles goes over largely the same material of 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. The prophets repeated themselves over and over and over again. It almost gets redundant, the message that comes through with the prophets. Several of the Psalms are repeated and quoted again in other places in the Bible. The gospel comes to us four times. We got four times the story of Jesus is told. Paul repeats the same message over and over again. In macrocosm and microcosm, we have this repetitiveness that comes to us in the Bible. We have the story of Exodus from slavery and return from exile that concludes with total restoration. And that's like this steady, repetitive beat all the way through the scriptures. And in macrocosm, we've got this idea of a good origin and a ruinous disaster, the breakdown that concludes with redemption somehow. This is this cycle that repeats over and over in the scripture. The same stories get told again and again, that those who hear them again and again and repeat them again and again seem to be the ones who stay on course, who keep remembering who it is that they are and where it is that they're going. And that's why we do what we're doing here. You know, we don't show up here on Sundays trying to be entertaining. If we were, then who? But, you know, it's not to be entertaining or provide some cool show or even try to dazzle people with some new and hidden secret truth somewhere. No, we're actually here, and I'll be upfront about that. We're here to repeat stuff that's been repeated for the last 2,000 years by a lot of people. Repeat stuff that most of you already know. You may encounter things that you hadn't ever heard or been acquainted with before, but you'll hear them repeated again if you continue with this. And we do this. We come back and repeat things that most of us know and remind ourselves of why it is we live the way we do, why it is we've set out on this path the way we have. And understand, this is not just a transmission of information. This is a reliving of a moment. This is being swept into a story. This is connecting with that hope that we draw from that sustains us in life. Someone explained to me one time why he had quit gathering with the church. And he said to me, you know what, I've already done the Bible thing. I've already learned that. I'm ready to move on to the next thing. And I was just kind of, you know, I was stunned by that sort of a mindset. That's like saying, you know, I read the poem, The Road Not Taken, so I got the information from it. Robert Frost doesn't have a GPS, trying to figure out what route to take home. Got it. Bam. Done. Information transferred. That's to miss the point of poetry. That's to fail to see what this is about. We repeat these truths, one, because we love them, because they're so life-giving to us, but also because we get swept into them. And then our lives then get shaped by these truths. We get established, like Peter says. We revisit our appreciation of what this all means. By repeating these truths, we remember and embrace the redeeming power of love. We remember that God's intending to make all things right, that's where this is all leading, and we set out to live like as if this world's already a better place. We remember why we do what we do. And sure, there's information that we're going to receive, but it's beyond that. It's deeper than that. And that's why we keep going over it again and again. Peter mentions another reason why he keeps repeating the basics. We look at verses 13 and 14. He says, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Now, we don't know for sure what Peter's referencing here. He may be talking about John chapter 21 in John's gospel, where Jesus kind of identifies for Peter how it is that he's going to die a martyr's death. Or he may be talking about some supernatural revelation that he got from Jesus about his imminent death. We don't know. Tradition that dates back to the second century says that Peter died in Rome in 64 AD under Herod's persecution of the church. The point is, Peter seems to know that his departure is close at hand, which inspires an urgency in his work. You know, he's basically saying, I got limited time to get this across to you. I got limited time to talk with you about this. But that informs us of why we do this also, because life is short and we need to remember eternal things. We need to remember that there's something that stretches out beyond this life. I know that that's part of my drive. There are a lot of times when I get tired or maybe even discouraged in my role as a teacher here, but I keep coming back to this. I got this short window of time here. I mean, I've probably got, 20, 30 years left, and that's barring any kind of serious health breakdown or accident or something like that. And that just seems like such a short amount of time to be able to try to communicate this stuff, to try to get across everything that I feel in my heart about this. And really, this is just the reality of this. We all have limited time to make use of. And gathering and repeating these truths helps to shape our understanding about life and about death and about what comes after and what's really important. That's the thing that helps us shape our priorities so that we know how to choose wisely in the time that we have, to number our days so that we live according to wisdom. You know, the average person, if we live to be about 80 years old, this is kind of interesting little tidbits of information, but the average person is going to spend, if we live to about 80, is going to spend 24 years of those 80 years sleeping. Think about that just for a moment. So right off the bat, there's a huge chunk of that time that we've got that's taken up with something that's vital. I mean, we can't live without that. We're going to spend 6 years of that life eating. We're going to spend 3 years getting rid of what we eat. We spend about 91 hours a year talking or texting on our phones. We'll spend about 13 of those 80 years working for the man, just going in and punching a time clock or doing what we have to do. And with the time that we've got left after those things, according to the statistics that are out there, on the averages, we're going to spend 9 years. What do you think? 9 years what? That's it. Exactly. 9 years watching TV. We will have absorbed around 2 million commercials. No wonder we're consumers like we are. And somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 years are going to be spent on the internet. And this research was done prior to the rise of social media. I would assume those numbers will just increase exponentially. So that's about 60 years used up out of an 80-year life. And that doesn't even include time spent waiting in lines or waiting at traffic lights or playing video games or all those other things that take up our time. And yet research says that the average Christian spends less than 10 minutes a day praying or reading the scriptures. And that comes out to less than 7 months out of an 80-year lifespan. That's why it's important what we're doing here this morning. That's why this is important for us to get here and remember this stuff. These truths that we repeat and we remember are going to take us on into eternity. All that other stuff that we end up spending our time on is going to end when this life ends. Only these truths and what we're gaining here in this community goes on forever. That's the only eternal stuff. What should our priorities be in light of things like this? Well, finishing up, Peter goes on in verse 15 and he says, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. And this is cool. I love this. This is Peter's purpose in this. Peter's not trying to build an empire. Peter's not trying to make everybody completely and totally dependent on him. His purpose is to equip people that he's teaching so that they won't have to depend on him. And that alerts us as to why we do what we're doing. Because being reminded of these basic truths will actually equip us for life. It actually provides this source for us that we draw from, that we drink from. We go over these truths so that we're all equipped by them. So that when we're not gathered here or the pastor isn't available, we can remember the basics of who we are, of who it is that we belong to, of where it is that we're going, and we can make our life choices accordingly. We're equipped then with these truths that establish us. That's why repetition, I believe, is vital in this. That's why we place the priority that we do on this aspect of our community gathering, the meeting times here. Because we want to get into what the scriptures say. We want to visit them thoroughly and frequently and get into the sweep of this story so that we're shaped by it. So that it becomes ingrained in us. It becomes something that actually the other way around. It's so that we find that we're part of this story that God is unfolding here. We get shaped by these truths. So we can draw these truths like water from a well in times when we need it. In 1992, Jim Davidson and Mike Price were climbing Mount Rainier in Washington. And on their way back down from the summit, as they were trying to cross an ice bridge, it collapsed on them and they fell 80 feet down into a crevasse. Mike Price died in the fall, and Jim Davidson had to climb out of that crevasse with minimal gear and very little experience in ice climbing at this level. He wrote a book detailing his experience. I read an extensive review of it and excerpts of it. And throughout this book, he references his father's influence on his life. And I thought that was interesting. He talked about how often his dad would communicate confidence in him. He would assure him over and over that he could accomplish great things if he would just press on through adversity and overcome these things. His dad inspired him with confidence by taking him on job sites. He was a painter and he'd paint roofs and stuff. And even as a young pre-teenager, he'd be up there doing these things. But his dad kept letting him know, you can do this sort of thing. You can overcome these things. You can overcome any adversity if you keep going. And as he stood at the bottom of that crevasse next to the body of his friend, all he could do was hear the voice of his father continuing to say those encouraging things to him, encouraging him that he was capable. And all those years of inspiration that his dad kept repeating to him flooded into him at that moment, and he mounted this climb. And it took him 5 hours. And after 5 hours of battling fatigue and crumbling ice, he finally pulled himself out and to the top of that crevasse. But through it all, in the whole ordeal, he kept hearing those words of his father. And thanks to the power of those words, he believes he made it out to safety. We may not be good at like scripture memorization or things like that, but I'm telling you, if we keep gathering around this word, if we keep reminding ourselves of these truths, if we keep repeating these things that may seem basic, when we need it, it's going to come back to us. In those times when we're faced with those difficulties and those hardships, those truths are going to return to us. We're going to be aware of them, and God is going to enable us by his power to overcome. So no matter where we are on this journey, we have to know that we need to remember. It's all right to come back to things that seem basic, to repeat basic truths. Because for one thing, it's going to keep us on course, but also because this life is short. And if we're going to spend our life on something, why not spend it on something that has eternal value to it? But also, when we keep repeating these truths, we're equipped. Our lives are shaped into the life that God intended for us, a life that is full and able to overcome the hardships of this fallen world. It's not new. There's nothing about this that markets very well. There's nothing about this that is very exciting or makes for a good commercial. But the rewards of this, the rewards of gathering like this and drinking deeply from this deep well, the rewards of this are eternal. So let's commit to it. Let's commit to keep coming back to this. Let's not grow weary in this. Let's keep drawing from this and become those people that God wanted us to be. Let's soak up these reminders for all that they're worth. Right on? All right, very cool. Why don't you stand up with me, please? God, we're so thankful to you for your word. We're thankful for this community gathering. We come and we share in this meal together that remembers your sacrifice for us. We gather thinking about the children of our community. We get into your word and find those important reminders of your love for us and your purpose that you have for our lives. And so I just pray that our sense of well-being is reinforced here this morning, that as we go out and we face the rest of this week, just pray that you bring these truths to our minds, that we're established in these things, and that you encourage each person who's here by your Spirit through this week. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.